From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to Future Focus Now, giving you great conversations with great guests from Winston-Salem State University and beyond. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor, Elwood L. Robinson.
Summer Johnson McGee is a prominent advocate for education and advancement of women in health leadership, for the advancement of diversity, and for the power of educational innovation. She received the American College of Healthcare Executives Distinguished Faculty Regent Award in 2014 and was named in 2015 one of the top 50 U.S. healthcare management professors, and was recognized as one of Connecticut Magazine's 40 Under 40 in 2019. Dr. McGee has published widely on social, political, ethical issues in healthcare and biomedical science, with a particular focus on the importance of education and public engagement for solving problems of public health. Her comments have appeared in major international and national media, including the New York Times, ABC News, USA Today, NBC News, BuzzFeed, Cheddar, the New York Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Houston Chronicle, the Associated Press, Newsday, Yahoo Finance, and the Boston Herald. A respected educator, Dr. McGee received the University of New Haven's Excellence in Teaching Award in 2017. Dr. McGee holds a PhD in bioethics and health policy from the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health and graduated summa cum laude with a BA in philosophy and a BA in bioethics from Indiana University Bloomington. She's also a graduate of the Harvard University Graduate School of Educational Management Development Program. Before joining the University of New Haven, Dr. McGee served on the faculty of Loyola University. And she has been here for about, let me see, I think she came in July 1. She is currently the president of Salem Academy and College. She is married to the Glenn McGee, who is the interim dean of admissions at the college, along with her. And together, they are a dynamic duo, which is changing the face of education in this community and also changing Salem College. I look forward to having her on my show tonight. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Summer McGee.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for that lovely introduction. It's amazing to think about. I think those media appearances were mainly during COVID-19 when I was trapped in my house. And all I did was talk to the media about COVID for months and months and months at a time. So I really appreciate you having me here and for that lovely introduction.
We're glad. I've been looking forward to the show. We've been trying to get you on for a while. Living in this community now going on 7 years, I have a deep appreciation for Salem Academy and College. When I first got here, I was immediately attracted to the history, the focus, the vision that all the leaders have had. And I am so excited about having you here in the city. I will welcome you to Winston-Salem, although you need no welcome at this point. You've been involved in so many things. You and I, our paths have crossed a couple of times already. I look forward to working with you in the future. And just let me say, welcome to Future Focus, and also welcome to the city. Well, first of all, I mean, tell us a little bit about you. I've read your bio, and you're now, what president are you? Oftentimes when you go to a college, you're the something president. So which president are you?
I'm number 22.
You know why I see number 22? Not a lot of colleges can get that because it's been around for so long. You are number 22. I'm the 13th chancellor at Winston-Salem State University. So number 22, welcome. Tell us a little bit about what attracted you to Salem College.
Well, I think one of the things that attracted me to Salem College was what you've already mentioned, the incredible history, the remarkable legacy that this institution has had over 250 years of being a place that was about innovating in education, about including everyone in educational opportunities. Those are things that I really believe in. And the fact that this was a place in 1772 that said, not just men deserve to be educated, women have a right to learn and math and to read. And so I think that rich history and that foundation really attracted me. And then of course, my background is in health, and Salem College has decided to pivot and focus on building and growing programs in the health sciences and in health related fields. And so I think the combination of that incredibly rich history and that commitment to promoting and educating and empowering women, combined with that focus on health, was a real attraction for me. I think the other piece that sold me, which I know you will agree with, is this incredibly amazing city of Winston-Salem. We've talked about this before. This is one of the best college towns in America that no one talks about. Such a rich and diverse community of higher education institutions. And I really love this city. It's a really remarkable place to live. And so the combination of those things, it was a slam dunk for me.
I can tell you there's a lot of excitement in the community about you being here. And I know I'm personally excited, and I've run into people almost every day, and they talk about you being here. You bring such a great energy with you, your husband, your entire family. I've had a chance to break bread with you, as they say. And that was good for my wife and I, Denise, to be able to be a part of a celebration that I want to get into. You talked about, you know, being the 22nd president because of the deep, rich history. Not a lot of people, and that's why I want our listeners and our viewers to get a deep appreciation for Salem College. It is a special place in a very special community. We're now talking about celebrating 250 years. And I don't think there's probably not another institution can say that. So you are actually, the college is older than the country.
That is correct. We are the oldest continuously operating educational institution in North Carolina. We're older than the United States, and we are the oldest educational institution for women and girls in the entire country. And so we have one of the things I think that's so remarkable about Salem is that we were founded on the commitment. We were founded on based on that journey that you participated in the end of that celebration in Salem Square of 18 Moravian girls and some companions walking 500 miles to pursue and start a new life and to pursue educational opportunities out here on the frontier in Salem. And I think that that is a pioneering spirit that we still have to this day. And it's just such an incredible accomplishment that we have weathered pandemics, more than one. We have weathered the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and that we have always found a way to persevere and to continue to thrive and to contribute something to this community. And so very few institutions can say anything like that. And it's just such a really remarkable and special place because of it.
I just think it's amazing, 250 years of history. And I think about, you talked about that pioneering spirit. You talked about those women. You talked about those individuals that traveled 500 miles to be here and to settle in this part of the country. I'm wondering, in 2021, as president of Salem College, do you feel that energy? And what is it like being on campus, walking on campus at night? Do you feel that energy, that spirit?
I really do. You know, this has been a place that's always been on that cutting edge and has always found that right opportunity to innovate. You know, it started as an academy for girls, as teaching young girls, ages 5 up through 16. And then later in the 1800s, it became a college and then became the first teacher education program in the state. And each step along the way, there's been that innovative spirit. And the students here, they run the student life on this campus. We have student affairs staff and they're here there to make sure that they follow all the rules and everything. These students run this campus and make it what it is and bring that energy and that spirit. And those are the students that choose Salem. They want to grab the world by the horns and make things happen. And so that is, I think, something that has been a common thread. And it's really special to watch and to see how much these students really feel ownership of this campus and love it, but also are willing to shake things up and make things new and different when the time is right.
Yeah, and I love that. In a perfect time to be able to do that in a society that's always changing. Everything today is about creativity and innovation and leadership, and that's where you are, and that's where your students are, and that's very special. It's special to all of us. You started July 1. You've been here for 4 or 5 months. What surprised you, and what since you've been here?
What has really surprised me, and it has been such a pleasant surprise, is what an incredible community we have here in this city of higher education institutions that partner together, that are not competitive with one another. Each one of us have our own lane, and that there are such great opportunities for us to collaborate and to work together. And that the entire community, I joke with folks, when I go out around town in Winston-Salem, I can't walk 10 feet without bumping into a Salem College or Academy alumna or a sister or an aunt or someone who is some way affiliated with this institution. And people love this institution. I feel like, you know, the love that you've expressed for Salem and the passion and the fascination with our institution, everyone has just been so supportive and rooting for Salem to be successful. I came from an institution, the University of New Haven, that is a very similar town in the sense that there's a big dog university and there's a state school and there's a few private schools thrown in there. And there was a real competitiveness there. Here, I really feel like that this is such a collaborative and welcoming and supportive community. And that has really been a pleasant surprise. I expected more of what I had in Connecticut. And it's really been great to see really how everybody is rooting for one another and really supporting. That's the higher ed community. That's the medical community. It's the startup community and just the broader folks who live here in the city who really want to see all of our institutions thrive. So that's been a great and very pleasant surprise.
I agree with you, and it shouldn't be a surprise. And I think what's interesting, and I think that you and I have talked a little bit about this, is how do we continue to tell the Salem College story? How do we elevate that story? I think we need to do that. I mean, I think people locally know and they embrace that. I was the same way with Winston-Salem State. I think we have a regional following now. We're really exploding both statewide and nationally. And I think that's because people are now starting to look at HBCUs differently. And that's good for us. And it's good for higher education. And it's good for all of us when that happens. But to have a community like Winston-Salem, I have not seen another community like it with the diversity of institutions across the board. Not a lot of people know about it, right? So right. You got Winston-Salem State, you got a historically Black college, you got Salem Academy and College, a women's college, you got Wake Forest University, a Research One university, private, great university that people know about. You got the School of the Arts, you know, a conservatory, and only one in the UNC system in North Carolina, you know, and you got Forsyth Tech. You're talking about one of the top community colleges in the state. You know, you got Carolina University, and that to me is pretty special to have these universities in such close proximity to one another. Not a lot of people know. So people who are not from the area don't realize I can almost throw a ball to where you are from Winston-Salem State, right? And it's That's the same great. Thing with the other universities in close proximity to one another. And I think it creates tremendous opportunities for us. I've enjoyed our conversations about how we can collaborate. We will do more of that. We will continue to partner and grow this region. And that's what I'm most excited about. So I agree with you. I was pleasantly surprised when I came here and that we can support one another. We got to do more, and we can. Yeah, we really do have. So let's talk about 250 years. You are having a celebratory year, I assume. And tell us about what you're celebrating and some of the signature events that we should look forward to. You've already had one that I participated in. So tell our audience a little bit about that. You mentioned it in your remarks earlier, but take us through that and then to the culmination of when we had the Winston-Salem State University marching band participating in that experience.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of different ways we've celebrated already. Back in September, we were very fortunate. Margaret Sandresky composed a new musical piece in honor of Salem's 250th anniversary. The Winston-Salem Symphony played that piece in our Haynes Auditorium with about 300 guests. And then we celebrated with a dinner dance and a gala that you so graciously attended. And then literally 2 days later, we started the recreation of the 500-mile journey, the walk that the women who founded Salem Academy and College took back in the 1700s. And so I was very fortunate to kick off that walk and to go to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a place I had never visited before, to see the remarkable similarities in the Moravian architecture and Moravian University. I had the opportunity to visit their institution and learn more about their institution from their president, Dr. Brian Grisby. And so then we kicked off this 500-mile walk, and five alumni from Salem Academy and College walked the entire 500 miles, did not take a rest day, did not take a break. On average, it was about 20 miles a day that they walked for 29 days continuously, recreating that incredible journey that the founders of this institution made. And so on that day in October, when we were so fortunate to have the Winston-Salem State band join us and to celebrate with us, we completed the last 6 miles of that 500-mile journey, walking from Bethabara to Corbening Plaza, and then finally finishing in Salem Square and really celebrating the incredible accomplishment of the founding of this institution and the real determination of the women who founded the place and the determination of the alums 250 years later who so incredibly love this institution. So we've done that. We've checked that off. And now we're moving into, in 2022, a series of events. We've got a community day planned where we're going to engage with the broader Winston-Salem community. We've got a health leadership conference focusing on our college's pivot to focus on developing women health leaders. And so we've got that in April, along with celebrating our Founders Day. And then we have a series of events as well throughout the fall. So for all of 2022, we are going to continue to celebrate, tell our story. And as you said, really get the word out about Salem College. You know, we were fortunate to have media coverage, you know, across the Mid-Atlantic region as those women walked 500 miles. And so we really are trying to tell Salem's story, get the word out there about what a remarkable institution it is and its history, and also to talk about our future and where we're going. So we've got a lot of great events planned for the remainder of this year. Our Founders Day, we're looking forward to doing a number of celebrations and events, including my installations. So it'll be a really festive time.
Is your installation going to be on Founders Day?
Yeah.
Will your installation be on Founders
Yes, Day? it will. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I
Yeah.
got to check. Were the women that walked the 500 miles, were they there at the end? Did I
Yes,
get a chance
they were
to
the
see
women
them?
on the stage at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, they did the whole 500 miles and ranged in age from mid 40s all the way through 68. And you know, these women, they left their jobs, they left their families, they took time away from work and committed this full 29 days, you know, paid for their own hotel rooms, you know, they paid all these expenses. They just did this because they felt in their heart it was something that they had to experience and to not miss out on this incredible opportunity. So it was really remarkable. And actually, PBS North Carolina is making a documentary about our history and this walk that was done, and that will be airing during Women's History Month in March. So it's really, really exciting.
No, I mean, that's great. That's fantastic. I was going to ask you how was it documented? And so PBS is going to have a documentary about it.
Yeah,
it was
really incredible. So in addition to the video footage, each one of the walkers did a blog and blogged and journaled every single day. So the way we were able to recreate that walk was because a 16-year-old girl named Salome Muir back in 1772 wrote a journal. And journaled. She was the best writer of the group. And so she was deputized to write a journal of every town they went through, everything that happened. So we were able to recreate the walk now, 250 years later, because of what she wrote. So our walkers journaled as well, but they did it as a blog. And we have the great video footage. So it was really incredible to read every night what they posted, what they saw, what they experienced.
You know, with the college with such deep history as that, there are a lot of artifacts and a lot of archival kinds of materials that are there. Is the actual journal available for, can somebody see it? Is it around?
I believe so. I haven't laid eyes on it myself, but I'm pretty sure it's in, you know, as you know, the Moravians keep incredible records. There are archives and records of absolutely everything. And so, yes, it physically exists, and that's what they used over a year and a half in the making. They recreated and planned out every single stop, every single step along the journey.
Yeah, and I see that, you know, I've read that you have a, is this your motto or theme? We honor our past as fuel to ignite our future.
That was the theme that was adopted for our 250th anniversary year.
Okay.
And so, you know, we did an incredible amount of work. One of the things that one of my predecessors initiated was an incredible historical project called the Anna Maria Samuel Project, focusing on the historical research of enslaved persons who were on our campus and who were owned by the academy and college during that time. And so we've done an incredible amount of archival research, actually first started by students who really wanted to understand our history and to tell a full accounting of Salem Academy and College's history. And so we've done that historical work. There are new markers up on our campus. And that was really how we started our celebratory year this fall, acknowledging our history and having some really deep conversations about what it means to be a college in the South that lived in, and people who worked here during an era of slavery. And so we worked through that past and honored the bright spots of our past and also talked about the not so bright spots in our history and the things that we grapple with as an institution today. So I think it's a really important theme to know your past and know who you are as an institution and the role that you played in our community as we look to the future.
You know, I love that. So, you know, one of the things we talk about at Winston-Salem State University is really honoring, you know, our history. And I talk a lot about when we were founded and how we were founded and the conditions in which we were founded. And that's important because it lays out a great platform. And I want our students to appreciate that and learn from that and create a better world than we had at that particular time. One of the things that's most impressive, I think, about the history of Salem College is that the Moravians, really, when you think about diversity and inclusion, were some of the first individuals to really think about that. I talk a lot about historically Black colleges and universities because there were no colleges for African Americans in this country. And yet we find, as I was researching and looking at some of the Moravian records, that you had two enslaved African-American girls that were in school in the 1700s, in 1785 or thereabout. And I think that's quite amazing and quite remarkable, but it is also a story that needs to be told. It's not a story that well known. I didn't know that until very recently. And that makes a powerful statement about the history of Salem College.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And that's really what the Anna Maria Samuel Project has been focused on, is, you know, highlighting that we were an institution that was committed to education for all, including those African-American enslaved girls who worked for the college and were owned by the college, but yet they were still deserving of education and were still allowed to participate and sing in the choir and fully participate in the life of the church. And so there's this cognitive dissonance I think we have in modern times about how could both of those things be true, that this was someone that was owned and purchased by the college and yet wanted her to be educated and to learn and to grow as a person and to have a spiritual and academic education. And so those are the things we've talked about with our students, understanding what different and complex times those were, and to really share that story with the community. Since we put those markers up, since we've published the work of the Anna Maria Samuel Project, we have had community members and organizations, some of the local hospitals and health systems have come and are including it as part of their DEI training that they're doing to see, show kind of what part Salem College played in the history of this city. And so we're very proud of that work, which was started about 4 years ago and is continuing to this day.
What do we think about that? Not only for African-American girls, but for American Indians as well. I see that the first, American Indian attended Salem College back in the 1700s, which is remarkable. Now here, if we look at the history, and we'll spend a few more minutes on that, and then we'll jump to the future. Think about having a college for women in the 1700s. And I wonder, as a leader, when you think about that and you're not here at this historic women's college, if you look at the juxtaposition of now you're educating women in the 1700s, and then we take there's a huge period in our history in which, it's not working well. Women are being discriminated upon and women are not being allowed to be. I think historically, as I read about, even in the 1900s, even in the 20th century, we know the changes that we had to make, in our Constitution. I mean, just to have access to certain kinds of things. I wonder if you ever look at juxtaposition back then and then what happened and where we are today and where we need to go. I often think about that,
Yeah, I mean, it truly was completely revolutionary that this notion of a school that served and its purpose was to educate women and girls. It was part of sort of the schism of these more progressive Moravians, right, came, to North Carolina to have an opportunity to do these kinds of things, these really progressive, outlandish ideas like educating women. Yeah. And so just to think about that and to think about then all of these hundreds of years later, all the opportunities that have been given to women and students who have attended Salem, I think that one of the most important things is that what I have learned, another thing that I think has been such a wonderful surprise, is that Salem has always been a place where individuals could come to express themselves, to find a safe space, to find opportunities to grow and to thrive and to become whoever they're meant to become. And because it was such an innovative, revolutionary institution in its founding, it's always been a home for those more progressive ideas and where people could really push the envelope about their educational prospects and who they were to become. And I think that's just really amazing to reflect on that someone had the courage to do that all those hundreds of years ago. And it's still about being courageous and imagining and innovating today in higher education, which is what we all need to continue to do to be successful and to thrive for our students.
Exactly. And I want more of that. I mean, more of that, right? More. That's what we need in terms of the spaces in which we operate. You're president of a women's college. Not many women's colleges left in America. And the number has been dwindling. You may get the question. I get the question all the time about HBCUs. You know, why is there an HBCU? People ask me. Well, you know, there are reasons for that, and there are reasons why there are women's colleges. But take me through the importance of women's college today. What is the state of higher ed for women colleges today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is there are 37 of us left, but there's a reason why there are still 37 institutions around the country that are historically women serving, and are those environments that are safe, welcoming, about supporting your own exploration, whether that's about your own academic pursuits or your gender identity or whatever it may be, that women's colleges are a place where women or those who identify as women can grow and can thrive, can have the opportunity to lead at every opportunity. When we talk about athletics, you know, one of the things our athletic director always tells prospective students about why choose a women's college for athletics: you don't have to share your fields or your locker room or any of your facilities with any of the men. You get to be the focus. And that's, I think, one of the real differentiators about women's colleges, is that everything is about making and putting you as an individual front and center, the opportunity. These are typically smaller institutions where you can stand out. We always tell students at Salem, you can't hide here at Salem. Everyone's going to know your name. Everyone's going to know who you are and what you're about. And if you're not sure, we're going to help you explore and find yourself along this journey together while you're a student at Salem. And so I think the relevance of a women's college is that they are a space where people can explore and grow and find themselves in an environment that is nurturing, that is caring. It's also an environment that, while many of the students here are incredibly ambitious and competitive with themselves, they're not competitive with each other. There is a real support system and family atmosphere. And I've heard that among all my college, women's college president colleagues, that there's a real family and a real community. And so if you're a student that's looking for that, what we hear from students who choose to come to Salem or to a women's college, you know, they're looking to no longer be a number. They're looking for a place where they can find their niche and their purpose. And they're also, you know, looking for a place that will be supportive and nurturing. And I think that is something that women's colleges do incredibly well and have done so for hundreds of years. And so I think in this day and age, and I think particularly we'll see in hopefully at some point a post-pandemic era, that students are looking for that support. They're looking for a place where they can get individualized attention and really get that nurturing that they need from peers that are supportive and caring and want to succeed, but not at the expense of anyone else. And so I think that's the kind of environment that women's colleges create. They're all about every single woman becoming the leader and the person that they want to be. And I think that's really, really special. And I think it's something that you can do when you're a smaller institution. It's something you can do when you've got that focus, which is something that Salem is really, really focusing now on, being a liberal arts college, but being focused and having a thematic focus around health. And so I think those are some of the things that I think more and more women's colleges, you know, are realizing that there's a really important niche that we can fill, a need that young people are looking for, to be in a community of like-minded, aspiring leaders who want support, who want a strong community, and are getting prepared to really, really succeed. The stats speak for themselves. You know, individuals who attend women's colleges are statistically more successful in getting into graduate schools and PhD programs. They have higher earning. And so the outcomes speak for themselves. And so I just think a lot of people don't know that. They don't Right. know what incredible benefits of women's college provides. You know, I think the big concern is, what about the social life, right? And, and you know, but that's one of the things about this incredible city. Right. I've seen many, many young men wearing Winston-Salem State gear on our campus at one time or another. So there's no lack of social opportunities and ways to meet people in a town like this. So, but again, I think it's some of it just not knowing the real value that a women's college provides and the really great outcomes that they produce.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show, really, to talk about this, because I think it's very powerful. What are some of the challenges that you face today?
I think there's a number of challenges. I think, you know, there certainly was a time for women's colleges when women's colleges were the only option. That was really the heyday of if women wanted educational opportunities, particularly here in North Carolina, you had to go to Salem or Meredith or one of a handful of women's colleges. And so now there are so many options. And you really have to make an incredibly compelling case. And I think to dispel some of the myths and some of the misunderstandings about what it means to attend a women's college. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about how incredible it is that at Salem, you can, in less than a mile walk, be in downtown Winston-Salem. And yet, you live in Old Salem, this incredibly safe and supporting and nurturing historic community. And so you can have the best of both worlds. It doesn't have to just be one thing or the other. And so I think that is a story and a narrative that we have to tell. I think all women's colleges, you probably saw the article over Thanksgiving break, I know I did, about the challenges women's colleges are having around gender identity and admissions policies and the changing understanding around gender fluidity and how people identify. This is a real challenge for historically women serving institutions and how we think about inclusion and diversity. It's a conversation that's happening on our campus. It's happening on women's college campuses around the country. And so this is a really dynamic and fluid thing in our society right now. And so trying to keep up with the times on that and what our institutional position is on that is something that we're talking about on an ongoing basis. And so I think convincing young people of why a women's college as opposed to a co-educational institution will continue to be front and center, and really making sure that we're keeping up with the times and that we're being as innovative and as modern as we absolutely can be to support the needs of our students.
Right. If you think about, you know, where you are, if you had a magic wand, what are some of the things that you would change and I'm more trying to get at what kinds of support do you need and how can we be helpful? How can the community be helpful? Whether that's the higher ed community, the philanthropic community, the business community. I know you certainly believe very strongly in partnerships, but what are the one or two or three things that you would like to see happen?
Yeah, you know, I would love to see for us to have some ways to really to find some efficiencies and some synergies on some of the programming, some of the supports that our students need. I think, you know, I'm sure this is true on your campus like on ours. Our students have incredibly significant, you know, needs for support, mental health resources, all of those things, incredible amounts of anxiety and fear, living in a pandemic, in addition to just being a college student, which is stressful enough. And so ways that we could pool those resources. As a small institution, it's very hard for us to do everything on our own and to duplicate the efforts that you're doing and that Wake is doing and UNCSA is doing. And so ways to bring those programming and the resources and some of the expertise of the professionals on your campus to our campus and vice versa. I would love for there to be ways so that we could really collectively benefit from all of the things that we all are respectively doing. I think another thing someone had mentioned to me recently about the possibility of bringing together our student government associations, right? So our students could be working together on initiatives that they want to see, you know, across the city and issues that probably are common across our student bodies. You know, of course, partnering, you know, on internships and those sorts of things, you know, and academic relationships. Salem College is always going to be a primarily undergraduate institution. We now have a thematic focus focusing on health. And so I want to make sure that our students have pathways from their 4 years or maybe even 3 years, if we can accelerate them, into graduate programs at Winston-Salem State and at Wake Forest and at other places around the state, and to give them those opportunities so that if Salem is the right place for them as an undergraduate institution, they've got a clear, seamless pathway to a graduate program of their choice, whether that's in nursing or whether that's in an allied health profession or going into medical school. And so I'd love, you know, to do those kinds of partnerships as well. I think that's something that we're really focusing on, because we, even though we're focusing on health, we're not going to build a nursing school. You know, we need to have partnerships and opportunities, you know, with our health system partners and with other academic partners. And so, you know, I think there's a lot that we could do. You know, so if I could wave that magic wand, it's to have a whole bouquet of academic program pathways for our students that say, yeah, I love all these things about Salem, and I want to do this for my professional or graduate degree. And I would love for us to find ways to make sure that our students have all of the most robust student affairs and student support offerings that much larger institutions have, and to find ways to pool and build those resources together. I think that would be really amazing.
I love that. I'm going to take my magic wand and I'm going to try to do the same thing, and hopefully the two of us can make that happen. I love the idea about the student government associations, because when we think about leadership, we think about transformation, we think about cultural shifts, all of which we need in today's society, it's usually driven by students, and students are what's oftentimes will lead the way. tell us about your students, because oftentimes I believe there is a huge misconception about who attends a women's college. Tell me about your students.
So I'll share some demographic statistics, and then I'll share a little bit more personal interactions with them. You know, our students, 55% of our students are students of color. We are one of the most diverse campuses around.
I guarantee you, Summer, that most people don't know that.
I know they don't. You know, I certainly wouldn't have guessed it or known it until I came to Salem. 65% of our students are Pell eligible. About 55 are first generation college students. So we are not, I think, what people might have thought, Salem having been around for a very long time, or maybe imagining a women's college from a different era. This is not sort of an elite upper crust sort of institution where women are wearing pearls like I am tonight. You know, these are students. These are, you know, DACA recipients. These are children of immigrants. These are first generation college students. These are adult learners that are working to put themselves through school. These are students that really know the value of the education that they are getting and are here to work very, very hard. I think so that's, you know, what I have seen is that the students at Salem will stay up all night to finish a paper, or they will stay up all night to build a set for the skits that they're going to do the next day for our fall fest. You know, they are just incredibly passionate about making the world a better place, about having incredible amounts of fun while they are in college. They don't do anything halfway. And they're just soaking every bit of the college experience out of the time that they are here. And so, I think it would surprise people to walk around our campus and see how incredibly diverse, you know, more than 50% of our students are interested in STEM fields. Our next largest set of majors are business. And so while we are a liberal arts college, we have students that are doing visual and performing arts, but we really have a large number of students that obviously are interested in health, but also focused on STEM. Or going into entrepreneurship and business. And so it's a really vibrant place. And really, you know, one of the things, again, that so surprised me is how active all of our student organizations are. The students run the campus. We just get, I mean, I live here, but everyone else just gets to visit. And it's a really, really incredible place.
You know, it sounds like, and I certainly have had an opportunity to see that firsthand. I agree with you. That's why I wanted you really on the show to tell the story, to get people knowing about the demographics. I'm glad you shared that. I think it we were able to dispel, I think, some misconceptions that sometimes people have about the college. Salem College today is fill in the blank.
Salem College today is transforming in a really big way. We are overhauling our curriculum. We have changed our academic offerings significantly. We're getting ready to revise our core curriculum to focus on leadership development, focus on teaching students key, what I believe are success skills for life, understanding social determinants of health, understanding how health insurance works, understanding global health in all of its facets. And so we're building all of that into our student experience. We're adding new majors. We have 70 new courses were developed over last summer and this fall. 70 new courses. 70. And our faculty is about 35 full-time faculty. So that's two per faculty member of new courses focused on health. And so we are really transforming the institution. Now, the most important thing that I always have to remind everyone, we still are going to be a liberal arts institution. We are still going to have that rich tradition and that focus and that broad preparation and the ability for students to explore. But we're also building in core and key fundamental knowledge about understanding health systems, wellness, putting student wellness really at the heart of things, and wellness about leadership development. So we are a place that is on the move and is changing really, really rapidly. You know, we call it a pivot, but it's really more than that. It's not just a turn. It's a real turn inside out and a real transformation, keeping the best parts of the institution and what it has been, but really doing some new and innovative things.
Oh, and that's great. That's great. And your husband is the interim dean of admissions. And so he's out recruiting. What stories is he telling? And what are you telling parents? And what are you telling, you know, high school seniors and juniors about Salem College?
Yeah, I mean, what we're telling them is that Salem has always been and always will be an incredible liberal arts institution where you can explore. As you know, 17 and 18 year olds often don't know exactly what it is they want to do, or even if they think they do, they sometimes don't end up on that path. And so you'll still have all that flexibility, But that Salem is a place where you're going to have opportunities to develop even further as a leader that's focused on your wellness, that's focused on you as a whole person, and making sure that you've got the tools to succeed throughout your entire life. And that includes health-specific knowledge, that's leadership development, it's communication. You know, one of the things, I'm sure everybody on campus is tired of hearing me say this now, I think the most important course that we're going to offer in our new curriculum is a course in the art of negotiation for women. Teaching women how to get that deal, negotiate those terms. Those are some of the real differentiators. And, you know, when I talk about that with parents and families, when I go show up at open house or when Glenn does, you know, moms and dads' eyes light up, right? They're like, yes, I want my daughter to be that leader and to have those skills. And so, you know, that's the story we're telling. You know, at Salem, you'll still be able to study political science or English, but you'll also get exposed to core topics about health and leadership development. And so that's the story. And it's an evolving one. We're in year one of a transformation that's going to take many, many years. But that's where we are today. And the response has been really positive. Students are really excited about a place that's doing some really cutting edge things.
Yeah, you know, I like the fact that you have to be patient with transformation. It doesn't happen overnight. I know we're almost out of time, but I know you have a grand vision about the many things that you want to do. I know you engage in a capital campaign. You really, you know, so what's on the horizon? What are the kinds of things that you really want to dig into and see changed over the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it I just mentioned, but I think it's really also about really transforming our student experience and that every single student that leaves Salem College hopefully 4 years later, that they are confident, that they feel empowered, that they feel that they know their purpose in life and that they're ready to go and make positive change in the world. Our new tagline, you know, is make the world better. You know, that's really the goal, is to have, you know, hordes of Salem alums around the country and around the globe that are making the world better. Maybe it's making it healthier. Maybe it's making it more equitable. Maybe it's making it safer, whatever that might mean. And that's really the vision. And so building the toolkit and the experiences for that next generation of graduates from Salem College to make the world a better place. And I think the students that have historically chosen Salem have had that passion, but I think we can do it even better. I think we can really ensure that our students are really going to thrive and succeed in tackling some really big challenges. We have huge societal challenges, and we need women leaders with their own distinctive leadership style and approaches that are willing and able to tackle those challenges. And so that's what we're about. And so, you know, we're going to, you know, we're an old, beautiful, historic campus that needs some TLC and modernizing of residence halls and all of those wonderful things. But the big grand vision for the campus and for the college is to be that place that attracts, nurtures, and then graduates, you know, really innovative problem solvers that want to make the world better.
I can imagine, because of the family atmosphere, the close-knitness of your students when they graduate, tell me a little bit about your alumni and what message do you have for them?
So our alumni love Salem College. It is a place that they hold incredibly dear to their heart. I talk all the time about how I think every alum that I have met would jump into oncoming traffic for Salem College if they had to. And I think that does come from that real close-knit family atmosphere that we have here. And so for 4 years, you live together and you learn together and you grow together. And those are bonds that never break. And so, you know, what I saw at the end of the journey to Salem and what I've seen when people come back to campus is they just passionately love this institution and are going to make sure, no matter what, that it thrives and is successful. And that is just really incredible to watch. There's a real connection. There's a deep, deep love of Salem that all of our alumni feel. And I think that that's something we saw even in our current students who were away last year because of the pandemic. And when the campus reopened this fall, there was just such elation to be home. And that is what Salem College students and alumni really feel in their core, that Salem is their home. And I think that is just such a special and wonderful thing to watch and to see. And what I would want all of those alumni out there to know is that your home is in good hands. It is changing and thriving and improving every day, but that we're also going to hold true and hold steady to the values and the things that have really made Salem what it's been for 250 years. And so there's such good stuff at the core of this institution, even though Salem is transforming and becoming something new and better and different. It's also staying the same. And I think that's something that when I've been out on the road and meeting with alumni at our 250-year celebrations, I think they've really appreciated understanding how we could both be radically different, but also be true to our incredible history and what a wonderful place it has been, and that it will always be their home, no matter how much the curriculum might change or the staff might change. It's always going to be the place that they loved.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for sharing about Salem College. It's such a wonderful, wonderful institution. I'll tell you that my wife, Denise, when you got a chance to meet, she is on your campus 3 or 4 times a week because our grandson, William Isaiah, goes to Salem Montessori Preschool.
Oh, that's great.
She spends at least 3 or 4 days a week picking him up. She picks him up and then they run all over campus. You know, that's how they are, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted
Well, tell her to come see me. I'm right across the street in the inspector's house. We can have a cup of coffee or something if she shows up early one day.
She'll have our grandson, and you don't want him in the house. Yes, you do. I mean, he's really a great guy. Listen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. 250 years, Salem College. Absolutely amazing. The 22nd president of Salem College, Dr. Summer McGee. Summer, thank you for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Elwood. It's really been a pleasure. It's great talking with you.
And please, everyone, join us next week for another episode of Future Focus Now. Good night, everybody.